Court of Nerds, West Coast Avenger Cast.
Welcome once again to the Court of Nerds West Coast Avenger Cast. I'm Greg.
I'm Kenneth.
And this is the only cast that we don't have to fix our mustaches in post. Kenneth is from Bampow TV and also from Retrofecta. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that you guys have been doing in Retrofecta a little bit later, because I saw that you just recently finished Mario 64.
Yep.
And you streamed it. And my God. But we'll get to that a little bit later. Most importantly, I asked Kenneth to be on this podcast because he was recently at San Diego Comic-Con and apparently had a great time based on all the pictures that I was seeing on Facebook.
A couple pictures went up, yes. What between 1 and 200-ish.
Something along those lines. So we're not going to cover any of the news aspect of San Diego Comic-Con. That's going to be covered in a couple of different podcasts that you're going to be hearing later this week. Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood is going to have the news aspect of it, and the regular cast is going to go over a lot of the trailer breakdowns of some of the big trailers that we saw at St. of which there were many.
There were, I feel, an abnormal amount of trailers this year. I loved it. It was great.
But they were really good.
Oh, yeah. No, I am firmly aboard the hype train. It's crazy.
Stranger Things Season 2 and...
like, even Justice League. I'm all, okay, yeah. You put more Wonder Woman in, I'm there. Cool.
Exactly. So that's actually... did you happen to catch the Justice League panel by any chance?
I did not. That's okay. In Hall H, and I have completely sworn off of that. Like, I just... I do not... I really would like to go to those. I really don't want to start camping out at, like, 6 p.m. the night before. Because it's just, it kills an entire day, basically. And
pretty much.
It's one of those, if I'm not going to have done it for Star Wars, I just don't see anything getting me in there at this point.
Not even Gal Gadot?
Honestly, maybe for Wonder Woman 2 at this point now, I could see doing it.
I'm so glad that they actually announced that that's coming too. I mean, it makes so much sense,
like,
at the same time.
Hey, yeah. Let's print money. Cool.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Okay, so what were some of the panels that you did sit in on?
So we actually had a pretty big panel snafu, and I think this is now my fifth Comic-Con, and we got kind of complacent. I go every year with my cousin Peter. We just hit everything up together. It's good times. And we completely dropped the ball on getting into the CW panels, which is one of the big ones that we hit up every year, just because Bampow covers all of those, and I just love all those shows. And so we really expected Star Trek Discovery was right before it. Mm-hmm. And we were like, okay, cool. You know, it's Star Trek Discovery and then Supergirl and then all the other CW stuff. Probably not a lot of crossover there. We can just, you know, we'll get in line a couple hours beforehand. Room's going to clear out. We'll roll right in and just nobody left. And that's actually the first major panel that we have not gotten into at all. Kind of bummer. So it left us, the only panels that we really hit up were the whole Cartoon Network block of Robot Chicken, Always Weird, Mike Tyson's Mysteries, and then Bob's Burger and Archer.
I'm always surprised by how funny that stupid show is. It's so dumb,
yeah,
but it's amazing.
It's way better than it has any right to be. So it is pretty good lineup. You know, even Robot Chicken, which I don't watch, but it's I'll watch it every now and again, but it's not really ever on my radar. Like, everyone in there is so funny, and it's just one of those panels that's, even if you don't watch a show, it's a delight to watch, because they just do a couple little snippets and then mostly just field questions and bullshit, and it's great.
I was at the ID10 Festival, however the idiot festival.
ID10T, yeah.
A couple of weekends ago, and the Mystery Science Theater 3000 panel was similarly really, really, really funny. I don't watch Mystery Science Theater. Mm-hmm. It's just, again, much like Robot Chicken, one of those shows that's just totally under my radar. I watched it years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But now that it's back on Netflix, I had no idea. But yeah, no, it was awesome. We watched it. Now my sister and I are watching. We're watching.
Nice. Yeah, and I'm like,
it's just awesome.
Maybe I should watch more Robot Chicken.
But that show has been around for so long, and it has been consistently very funny.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think they both lend themselves very well to. They're so completely episodic that you could just jump in at any point. It's
exactly
like, oh no, I it's not like Adventure Time or something where you have years of continuity to build up on now. So mm-hmm.
Or Archer, for example.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So what did we see at the Archer panel?
They are doing another period piece, and it's going to be I think 1939, right at the breakout of World War II, Archer is some sort of pilot. Pam is his co-pilot, and they end up marooned on a volcanic island with, you know, the whole cast, and shenanigans happen.
Some form of Gilligan's Island joke.
I assume it's just going to be one long running Gilligan's Island joke,
which is nonstop people showing up at the island.
Yeah.
Okay, so at the Star Trek Discovery panel, now this is one of those shows that I don't know. As soon as I heard the rumors of it, I was like, well, this sounds really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But why does it have to be on CBS's premium thing? Who the heck is going to pay to just see that? But from what we've seen from the screens, this actually looks really good.
Oh, yeah. It looks delightful. I assume, like a lot of other places, they saw what Netflix and Hulu are doing and are like, We would like some of that pie. That looks good. Because even apparently DC now is launching their own subscription-based thing, and they're getting I forget what, and then a third season of Young Justice on there. Mm. So I'm like, okay, I'm apparently going to drop cable and then just end up spending more across like 12 different subscription services. That's great.
A la carte. Yay. I mean, a la carte subscription services are overwhelmingly what people want. It's just a matter of it not being there.
Yeah.
So, okay, so what was the best moment from a panel that you saw?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd say probably just in the Bob's Burger panel, the gentleman who voices Tina, and I never remember his name, but just the reaction from the section of the audience that had never been to Bob's Burger panel before when Tina's voice, because he doesn't do a voice for Tina. That's just how he talks. Mm-hmm. And when he starts talking and the audience goes, oh, okay. That's weird. Okay. And it's just so delightful because, you know, I think this is like fourth Bob's Burger panel we've seen, and every year without fail, it happens. He starts talking and people just kind of lose their mind. It's so great. I love it. And everyone on there is real funny. And I think outside of the mom, like that's just everyone's voice. And even for the mom, the guy who voices her, it's not that far off. He just Brooklyns it up a bit more. So
Brooklyn's it up is going to be a measure of degree in terms of, you know, how far Brooklyn are we going to go here? Is it going to be?
I really don't know Brooklyn stereotypes.
I don't know either. So I think we're just going to have to leave it there. Okay. So what were some of the other things that you saw at Comic-Con outside of just these panels that you waited in line for an exorbitant amount of time for?
What else did we wait in line for? Honestly, we did a surprisingly small amount of line waiting this year. A couple of my friends hit up the Game of Thrones experience, which they've both been trying to get in for years now, and just never seemed to be worth the time. So this year, one of my friends, a lady he knew, got in line at 6 in the morning, texted him at 10 saying, hey, you know, I'm in line. It looks like it's moving pretty well. You should come hit it up. He gets over there maybe about 10:30. They actually get in at 3, and he's like, well, it was fun, but I would never do that again. So, because, you know, it's a bunch of props, a bit of interactive stuff. One of those things, it really sounded like if you waited maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours, yeah, sure, that's worth it. But, you know, 5 to 8 hours, nah.
I heard a really interesting thing about the Westworld experience that they had, where they actually had a bar set up.
Oh,
it
nice.
It was the bar from the show, The Mariposa.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like a screening section where they would only take 12 people in at a time. They would sit you down with a person who was like supposedly a researcher at Westworld, and they mm-hmm. would talk about whether or not you would be a white hat or a black hat going in. Then they would send you into the Mariposa bar where you could get drinks from.
That's
from
pretty
hosts.
Crazy.
And it was supposedly very, very cool, but also, again, 12 people at a time over the span of a couple of hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like HBO maybe shoots a bit too high for what they're trying to do. And it's like you get very cool experiences, but then just a lot of frustrated people who never end up actually seeing it. So
that sounds like a lot of Comic-Con.
Yeah.
In my experience.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of waiting with a nice side of disappointment. But on the flip side, The Expanse put out a whole escape room thingy, which was really cool. And you had two teams of 7. Each went into their own room. The entire thing was capped at 10 minutes, so they could flow people mm-hmm. through very quickly. And it was the whole theme of it was you were two sets of crew on the same ship where the airlock was failing. And so you were trying to solve the, you know, the problem so you could open the lock on your room into a third room that both team A and team B had access to. Whichever team got into the room first, other team just auto loses. And then the team who makes it potentially can actually win and solve that third room and get on out of there. And then, you know, you get like Expanse season 2 Blu-ray says, hey, cool, you did things.
Yeah, I saw Nick, another one of our friends, won that.
Yeah, so yeah.
He was so, very excited.
Yeah, very, very cool experience with, you know, a much more reasonable time frame. Like they could shuffle people through very quickly.
So it seems like a lot of these networks are trying something new or have been trying some type of new experience over the years, because this isn't anything that I've heard anything about from San Diego Comic-Con.
No
big news.
Yeah, it seems like the last couple of years they've really been going kind of off the rails with what they're doing. Like, you know, last year they had Vikings had a whole thing set up with they made like two 60 to 80 foot long water troughs with canoes set in it, and you would have two teams like racing each other down in there. And it's like they're just getting pretty crazy about it, and I love it. And it's pretty cool too, because all of these things are outside, and a lot of them you don't actually even need a badge for. So even if, you know, A, you can't get in at all, or B, oh, I got Thursday, Friday, Sunday, crud, what am I going to do Saturday? You just kind of wander around outside and you can still have a good experience on that day.
So what was your experience with some of the cosplayers?
Oh, man. People are way more talented than I am. Step one. Step two, Overwatch is insanely huge. Everyone is cosplaying as Overwatch.
How
it was crazy.
How many Doomfists did you see?
You know, sadly none. It was
really
kind of disappointing. Like, I thought with that being the brand new announced character, at least a couple of people would have put something together. But ton of divas, just because you can get the
purple jumpsuit thing that she wears. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's a lot of the people just start as that at the baseline, and then, okay, I'll add ears, oh, I'll add shoulder pads, and build up from there. So, yeah,
I'm sure there were a lot of tracers as well.
Actually, more Mercies than tracers, which was surprising, because tracers, you know, kind of the iconic face of the game, but I think Mercies are a bit more stunning, you might say, just because you get the whole wing things going.
Right,
and
yeah.
It just looks really cool.
The giant halo and everything, and then they can just yell at people, heroes never die!
Yeah, basically.
And then they look at everyone who plays as Genji and go, except for you, you can die. Yeah.
you deserve to die, sorry.
You deserve to die. Have you seen like an increase in the quality of cosplay over the span of the years that you've been going?
I don't think so, no. It's consistently just amazing. Like, you know, there's always going to be a range of stuff, say Peter and I do, which is kind of schlubby, tossed together at the last minute.
Well, you guys went as Team Skull.
We did, and it was so great. We'd see other Team Skull, run up and take pictures with them, and, you know, do weird dances, and it was delightful. But no, people there are just, they put so much time and effort in and just get these crazy beautiful costumes that just blow me away. And I love it. And you can definitely see an ebb and flow of what's popular. Like 2 years ago, it was just Deadpools all over the place.
Yeah.
Last year, you know, a ton of Rays, a ton of Harley Quinns. And this year is by far just Overwatch and Wonder Woman. And it very much just kind of mirrors whatever is the popular cultural zeitgeist type thing.
And hopefully if Justice League is not terrible,
yeah, we'll see a lot of that.
We'll see maybe a few Jason Momoa style Aquamans.
Yeah. Oh, man, there are a couple Mauis. And
yeah,
I'm just like, man, one. Okay, apparently the hotness at Comic-Con is just work out a ton, get real ripped, figure out a costume that doesn't involve a shirt. Boom, you're golden. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I'll have to work on that.
More people dressing up as what's his name? Gladios from Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, yeah.
Shirt out, abs
and
everywhere.
Just boom. Yeah. I did 500 sit-ups a day. I'm not wearing a shirt.
He actually isn't, and it's a little frightening. It doesn't look like you've been doing 500 sit-ups a day.
It's just bad news for everyone involved.
Okay, so this is the Court of Nerds West Coast Avenger cast. I'm West Coast Avenger Greg, joined by Kenneth from Bampow TV and Retrofecta. What were some of the other things about the con that you thought, let's say somebody who is a first-time convention goer was going to San Diego Comic-Con, what is something that they need to know first and foremost?
Wear comfortable shoes and way more sunscreen than you'd expect. And bring a hat. You're going to end up in line. It's guaranteed going to be in the sun, and you don't want to be like the dude in front of us. You know, we're standing in line for ballroom 20. Peter and I are switching off, going up to the hotel bar and just, you know, grabbing a drink and sitting in the shade for a bit. And I come back and find, you know, turns out the dude that was in front of us just heat stroke and collapsed. And don't be that guy. It's not fun.
No, for nobody. That's not fun.
Yeah,
anyone.
It's just a bad time for everyone involved. So a lot of sunscreen and, you know, bring water. Yeah. Expect to wait in more lines than you would think you were going to.
Did you get a chance to play any of the games in any of the game corners that they had there? Or,
you know, every time we went by Nintendo, very plus side and very unfortunately had Super Mario Odyssey. And it just, unless you got there a couple hours early, it was always just capped. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those, I really, really wanted to play it, but it's coming out in like a month and a half. I don't know. Like, con time is really precious, so it you always just kind of have to balance what you're going to do.
So you guys spent a lot of time, too, wandering through the vendor hall. What were some of your experiences wandering through there and looking at some of the wares that people were peddling?
Oh, man, there are freakishly good artists out there. As always, we came back with way more art than we probably should have, and we're, I don't know, I either need to build more walls or start putting it on the ceiling. So they'll be great. You know, maybe even we'll get our art up from the last con we went to. But the convention hall is freakishly huge, like deceptively huge, because you walk in and so many of the merchant vendor people have very tall structures. So it's, you know, it kind of blocks your line of sight. Mm-hmm. And then you walk through it, get down to one of the main walkways, and you're like, oh, this stretches for a couple football fields either direction. Okay, this is going to take a while. And it's just, I don't know, it's great because it runs the full gamut from, like, you know, people offering very crazy custom commissions to the always insane Pop Funko area to just, you know, very traditional. We have a ton of floppy comics and, you know, you can pick through for back issues or, hey, here's some like old signed ones. And it's just anything you could think of, basically, they have there.
One of our close personal friends of the Court of Nerds, Gavin from Tardy's Collector's Corner, was there. And I'm not sure if he was a vendor there. I think he was just visiting. But he was repping us, the Court of Nerds, which was pretty cool.
Oh, I saw that picture. Yeah.
We have the picture up on our Facebook. That was pretty cool. We'll have to talk to Gavin, see what his experiences were as well. That was pretty great. Okay, so final thoughts on San Diego Comic-Con.
I love the heck out of it. Like, it's exhausting. It's kind of smelly. It just overwhelming amount of people. And I could not have a better time there.
Okay, so comfortable shoes, sunscreen, and deodorant.
Yes,
is the other one.
Yeah, please. And that's less for yourself and more just for everyone around you.
Right.
Because it's real unfortunate getting stuck in line behind someone who hasn't showered in a couple days, and it's very noticeable.
To be fair, that Game of Thrones experience, you had to wait in line for a long time.
It's true.
For
yeah.
It, so he probably wasn't able to shower in between.
Yeah. He was trying to just really get into the whole Game of Thrones feel.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kenneth is from Bampow TV and Retrofecta. And in Retrofecta, you guys just recently finished Super Mario 64.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you finished it, what are your thoughts now looking back on it?
It holds up really well for a 20-year-old game. It's tough because it basically completely overhauled gaming and was like, here is the new standard for 3D. You want to go into 3D, this is the game you look at. But then you compare it to current games, you're like, oh man, they took this very benchmark thing and really improved on so many parts of it. I love the heck out of it. I don't know.
I mean, even within its own generation, though, too, you had Banjo-Kazooie, which came out on the Nintendo 64. Are you guys planning to play that, too? Or
no, we mostly stick with just Mario, Zelda, and Metroid as our big three things that we play through.
Otherwise, it would just take forever.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you'd have endless content for days, but it would just take forever.
Yeah, yeah. Even just within that pretty narrow confine, it's like 5 years worth of stuff, which is kind of terrifying.
Yeah. So what's next, then, now that Mario 64 has been done?
Ocarina of Time.
Ah,
so
okay.
We're basically going from one classic to another.
Now, are you going to do the 23-minute speed run, or is it just going to be the full
100%? I am not nearly good enough for that. It's going to be a nice middle ground between the speed run and the 100%.
You're just not going to go for all the Skulltulas?
No. I'll definitely go for beating it and, you know, hope for the best from there.
All right, great. You can find more info on Retrofecta and what they're doing. You can find them on Facebook. Bampow TV is also on Facebook as well. The website is Night of the Living Geeks.
NOTLG.com. Yeah.
There it is. Okay, Kenneth, thank you very much for joining me. This is your West Coast Avenger cast. I'm West Coast Avenger Greg, joined by Kenneth. And we will make sure you keep an eye out for Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood, which is coming out a little bit later this week. He's going to run down some of the news from San Diego Comic-Con. Also, keep an eye out for the main Court of Nerds cast, where Drew, John, and Stacy are going to break down some of the trailers that you saw in this as well. As always, you can look us up on Facebook at Court of Nerds. We're on Twitter, Court_of_Nerds. And we're online at thecourtofnerds.com. See you next week. Court of Nerds is brought to you by Grand Rapids Comic Con,
October 20th through the 22nd at the DeVos.
Billy Dee Williams, Kevin Sorbo, Jim Cummings, and tons more guests. You can find the full lineup of nerdery at grcomiccon.com.